You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Mugga. I'm joined this week by two regulars, two guys who I'm sure had a good Sunday. So we bloodied some noses. Elijah, how goes it?
I'm feeling good, you know, the ops, you know.
Yeah. That was very sinister. It wasn't what we were expecting in terms of result, but we take it. Also joined by Reams. How are you doing, Reams?
I'm good, you know, guys. I'm good. You know, disappointed we didn't get the 3 points again for the third game in a row, but
right,
could have been worse.
Could have been worse. Before I start, I've got to do the usual and plug the socials. If you're not following on the Twitter, TLF_Mugga, I'm not sure why you wouldn't be. If you're not subscribed to the feed on either Apple or Spotify, please do that. If you haven't left a 5-star rating, please do that too. If you're on the Patreon, you would have realized ramping up again. We did a post-game review and a preview for the Liverpool game. We're all glad to think that our preview for the Liverpool game ended up being wrong. We also had another piece that I recorded with, I think it was you, Elijah, maybe, or Rodney.
No, it wasn't me.
Maybe it was Rodney then, about a week or so ago, I think it was. Yes, it was ahead of the Chelsea game. So we're slowly ramping up our Patreon content. So if you're somebody who likes the additional content, subscribe to the Patreon. With all that being said, guys, it was a super Sunday. And one of those super Sundays that actually was super Sunday by name and nature. Going into the game, I'll start with you, Reams. You haven't been on for a few weeks. Going into the game, where was your head at? Because like you said, in the last week or so, we've dropped a lot of points from winning positions. So what was your thoughts going into this game against Liverpool?
I'm kind of checked out of this Premier League season, I'll be real. That's what I haven't been on in the last few weeks. Going into this game, you know, we had a good feel-good result before the international break. We've come back, had some disappointing results off the back of that. But I just felt like, you know, we've had more injuries pile up now. I think since we've come back, Lisandro's injured again. I think Johnny Evans is injured again. Varane's injured again. McTominay got injured. This back end, it kind of feels like top four looks like it's gone. Don't think we're going to drop too far down the table. It's everybody eats time for us right now, you know what I mean? So going into the game, I was just thinking, listen, if we could just do something to upset Liverpool, I'll take it. Draw or win would be great. And then the first 10 minutes of the game started, I was like, you know what, we look up for it. And quickly we went back into that, you know. Every time we turn over the ball, the opposition team is ending that attack with a shot kind of vibe. So at halftime, I was probably thinking, yeah. Obviously, Liverpool's winning at halftime, innit? They went up at 1-0. Yeah, I was probably thinking, yeah. Liverpool scored the next goal in this game. That's about it. But, you know, they did what they do, what they've done a lot of times this season. They let teams back into the game. They don't defend that well. They make mistakes, you know what I mean? So going into the game, I wasn't too optimistic about us getting a result, but like in high stakes games like this, like the form kind of goes out the window, you know what I mean? It becomes about like emotion and like who could like manage their temperament and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I guess, I don't know if that answers your question, but yeah, I guess.
It does. Elijah and Reams, let me just run through the lineup. Andre Onana in goal, a back-two partnership of Harry Maguire and Willie Kambuala, right back Diego Dalot, left back Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Midfield of Bruno Fernandes, Casemiro, and Kobbie Mainoo, and then a front three of Marcus Rashford, Alejandro Garnacho, and Rasmus Højlund. Elijah, what did you think of that lineup when you saw it pre-game?
I thought, yeah, that's going to be a good team to lose with. That was pretty much it.
Okay, let's talk about the first half. The stats are damning, but what was it like watching it?
It didn't truly sink in until the first time I saw it, when it said 0-0-7-4-7-14.
Honestly, that fire alarm of yours, Elijah, is a member of the pod at this point.
Yeah, yeah. I apologize because I'm in my living room today, so it's going to be even louder.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, man. I just thought. At first, I thought, okay, 10.
What 10, I'll 10. Say is, Elijah, because we had the goal chalked off for offside,
yeah,
which was a big chance. It kind of felt like we was creating danger.
Yeah,
like as the first half progressed, we was like, wait a minute, we haven't created a single chance in this whole half. Like,
yeah, right. Like it was like, and then Bruno had a chance afterwards when he somehow thought he had the confidence to dribble past Quansah rather than pass the ball, and I just didn't understand it. But man. Yeah, that first half was horrible. Just got worse and worse. The goal was just like whatever. We're horrible at set pieces. We've conceded the most shots from set pieces in the league. Well, that was before this weekend anyway. And we've conceded the second highest XG from set plays as well. We're literally terrible in attacking set pieces and defending set pieces.
Didn't we hire John from Arsenal a few seasons ago?
Huh?
Didn't we hire somebody to be on set pieces? Wasn't he from Arsenal?
Nah, that was, I think we hired Eric Ramsey from Chelsea, like, okay. And he was given the responsibility of the set pieces, but I'm not sure if he's on that now. I don't think he is. Apparently Ten Hag's taking control of that, and we've gotten worse, so yeah. But I mean, when you're the fitness coach, the set piece coach, the manager, the director of football, and we're poor in all areas, maybe he's just stretched a bit too thin. But that's
maybe just maybe, yeah.
But yeah, like it was just a bad half of football. Liverpool weren't even good. They would like it was just a team playing below their standards, and United playing to their standards. And it wasn't a really good game, but obviously Liverpool had some danger. Onana had a good save. I'm not sure if he could have done better with the goal, but I just take the rough with the smooth at this point. Yeah, like there's not much to say about
the first half. Fair.
Even the game in general, I can't even lie. It was just madness.
Well, let's start with the first piece of madness. Bruno Fernandes' finish. For such an abysmal first half showing from him, the confidence to even strike it like that first time, kudos, man.
That might have been the worst 45 minutes of football he's played in the Man United shirt.
I think it's up there. It's up there.
That was incredible. I was like, yo, it can get worse. I was like, sorry, bro. Like,
you know, you've got listeners, shout out the listeners who like at the Mugger account telling us that we need to lay off Bruno, etc., etc. When are we going to admit we're Rashford fanboys, etc., etc.? Please explain that first half to us. I beg of you.
No, but they don't need to because he scored. That's their point. That is literally their point. They will act like that game is acceptable because of what he done, which is an absolutely ridiculous way to look at football. But it's fine because he's going to keep doing this shit, and then we're going to keep failing. Then they're going to keep scratching around for excuses. It is fine. Like, this is what they want, so that's fine. But yeah, I mean, to be fair to Bruno, there was no way he was going to dribble past Van Dijk and bear down on goal. So him taking it first time is pretty in keeping with his capabilities.
What? It wasn't even the first time thing was mad. It was the striking technique that killed me.
Like, because it was the thing is, I saw it go in and I was like, that's a great strike. Then I watched it again. I was thinking, it wasn't bad, but yeah, man. Yeah.
What did you think, Reams?
I think what made it a good goal, I think it was a good strike. He got it on target, cut across it, nice technique. He didn't get that much height on it.
Mm.
But I think because he took it so early,
right?
Like, Kelleher was so far off of his line. He was literally
He
was pretty much outside his box. Like, he couldn't like get his feet together. He couldn't like scramble quick enough because Bruno took it so early. Like, so it was a nice little bit of instinctive play. And you know, Bruno's the type of player that could pull something out of his ass every now and again. Like, you know, he could do it. Like, so it was a good goal. It was a good goal, honestly. Like, gifted to us, but like the way he took it was impressive. Shocking performance, however, though. Like, honestly shocking. Like, his passing, ghastly. His ball retention, catastrophic. Like, he worked his socks off. He always does. Like, you can't fault him for that. Like, he works hard, but he's just not that athletic. So,
right.
It's kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, boy,
yeah. I don't know. I'm almost calling him an enigma. I just don't think he's good, but honestly, when he plays like, well, he doesn't regularly play as badly as that, but when he pulls stuff out of the bag, and when that went in, it was so like not bittersweet, but like, it had to be this guy. Because like you said, Elijah, now you know that any conversation you want to have about his overall performance will be like, but did you see that goal though? Did you see that goal though? I'll take all the other crap if he can do that. And it's like, that probably happens like once in a player's career, twice if you're lucky. Cool. So that's our equaliser. I think Liverpool were absolutely shell-shocked because they should have been a few goals up in the first half, but somehow they're now drawing with us. Flashbacks probably of the FA Cup game. And then about 20 minutes later, Kobbie Mainoo.
Do you know what I have to say about that goal, first of all? Casemiro's pass to Mainoo has not been mentioned, but it is absolutely insane that he played the ball overhead blind. I know he done that blind. He just expected someone to be there. He is absolutely insane, but it came off and it was a very good pass to start off the move. But wow. But that was a good goal. It's crazy that Wan-Bissaka's going to get an assist for that. But you know. He didn't have a good game, but what, it's his birthday soon, so he's finally going to turn 19, because I just feel really uncomfortable with him being 18 and just good, quite frankly. I think, like, just having a player who's just literally our best player right now, and he's 18, and look, of course, Mainoo, he's a special talent, but he's not like a Rooney or Ronaldo. So I don't know. I just feel uncomfortable about that. But no, it was a great goal, great finish. He did say that he used to be a 10 until recently. So he does look good in them tight areas further up the pitch. We saw it with the Wolves goal. We saw it with this goal as well. And he has the composure. But yeah, I just really hope that it should have been the winner. But I'm really happy with him, and hopefully we don't destroy his career like we've done to others.
The actual like conveyor belt of destruction at Manchester United is insane. Rashford, Martial, Pogba. I just feel like these guys, like, they ended up anywhere.
I feel like Greenwood,
it was what it was. Yeah.
Probably he would not have even made it through at another club because they wouldn't have had him. Yeah. The other three though, the fact that we're starting to include Rashford in this now is quite upsetting. But yeah. I mean, like this summer, as much as we talk about needing a DM, I really do hope we get someone with a profile like Mainoo, not necessarily to start over him, because I don't think if he keeps playing, then that's fine. But I do feel like we need to have him drop in and out a bit more, or play with his not deputy but competitor on occasion, just so we're not trying to rely on him and gas him out as soon as possible, because that's a mistake we've made a lot. So just to kind of, you know, give him the freedom and the room to make mistakes, have bad games, have bad form, and we not miss a beat because we're just that relying on him.
Fair, bro. Reams, you're plugged into the academy level much more than most people. Do you have any other YGs potentially coming through in the next season or so who could potentially come in and fill the gaps? Because I'm aware the team needs a lot of surgery, but Carrington just keeps producing players.
What position?
DM.
I guess for DM, none of the ones that like maybe have a good chance are quite ready yet. They're still like young bucks, you know. There's Jace Fitzgerald, who's kind of like a 6 and an 8. Not really sure where he's gonna end up now. He's only like, I think he's just turned 17. There's Jacob Devaney, he's only 16. There's Finley McAllister, but I don't think he's gonna make it. I just don't think Finley's gonna make it. Probably go have a good career somewhere else, but I doubt he'll make it here. Right now, in like the 21s, if they're like, for example, if we had like an injury crisis and we had to draft someone in to come play, like the two ones would be Toby Collier and Maxi Oyedele. Okay. So those two would be the next up to like come play six right now if we needed to draft someone, like, you know, like we did with Forson or Kambala.
How highly do you rate those guys?
Toby Collier, not that high. I think Oyedele is good. But like, I wouldn't really, like, I just play him just for the sake of it, to be honest, like, just see what we're working with, to be honest. But like, he might not actually be a six. He might be more of like, you know, a Kante type of like a shuttler type of roam around, break up play, carry the ball kind of. He's not really a positional midfielder right now in terms of just sit in front of a back four and just protect, you know what I mean? But I feel like he has the skill set to do it. So yeah, like if I had to choose out of Collier and Oyedele, I'd rather have Oyedele, and just because of his ground coverage, his ball winning, you know, good at carrying the ball and stuff like that. But I find it hard to see either of them two breaking through at United right now at this stage, because there's just like more talented players underneath them. Fair. So I think they'll try to like groom a Jace Fitzgerald or something like that going forward. Right now, the sixth position, there's not really any outstanding candidates to come in and contribute, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, fair, understandable. Cool. And then 15 minutes or so after Mainoo scores, so there's one Bissaka assist, like you mentioned, Elijah. One Bissaka provides another assist via the foul on Harvey Elliott. What did you guys think? Penalty or no penalty, Elijah?
That's a pen. I feel like because he is, Elliot runs into him, but Wan-Bissaka's in his path. If he stays on his feet, Elliot won't run into Wan-Bissaka's fire. So, and he didn't get the ball, so he just got none of the ball, and he's there on the floor, and he runs, and Elliot runs into him. Elliot has no business having to avoid Wan-Bissaka if he's diving in the box. I think it's a pen. I do believe if the ref doesn't give it, I don't think VAR overturns him. Mm. That's just the rub of the green. I think, but to me, if I see that and that's not given for my team, I'm thinking that's a poor decision. So yeah, that's a pen for me.
Fair. Same for you, Reams.
I can see the arguments for both sides. Like, obviously, Elliot engineers the contact, but he wouldn't have opportunity to do that if Wan-Bissaka didn't go to his feet, didn't leave his feet for no reason in the first place. So I guess if I was going to justify why the penalty was given, Wan-Bissaka's he slid in with like a scissors motion, and like where like his body has landed on the floor is in Elliot's landing space. So obviously, where Elliot is going to plant his feet, that's where Wan-Bissaka slid. So he's not really made contact with Elliot, but he's impeded his landing space, you know what I mean? So, but Elliot is like, I think Wan-Bissaka, when he realizes he misses the ball, he's trying to like pull his body out, but Elliot has been smart and he's stretched out his foot and engineered the contact.
Move, man.
Yeah, bro, come on, man. That's, you know how to draw Jimmy. That's James Harden, bro. That's I mean, that's very young, bro. You need to know how to draw fouls.
Yeah, you get to yourself to the Hall of Fame being able to
bro,
get to
every elite like attacker needs to know how to draw fouls, man. Come on.
Facts. Agreed. I agree with both of you. It was a technique he uses quite often, and he just got it wrong.
He didn't need to do it as well. I know he feels like he's like Spider-Man and he can win every slide tackle, but like when you're playing against players like Elliot, who are like good technical dribblers in small spaces, and They have quick feet. They can nick the ball away. Like Wan-Bissaka always struggles against those kind of dribblers. It's more the more dynamic Raheem Sterling's, like the ones that's trying to get in behind you with like speed and like trickery that he does well against. But the more nimble, like, you know, the Firmino's, the more tricky kind of dribblers, like that could that could like beat him with like disguise and feints and stuff like that. That he's always kind of struggled a bit more against those kind of dribblers. So he needs to be a bit smart. He needs to make better decisions, like when you're in a penalty box as well. But yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah. I guess it's a penalty. I guess I wouldn't, like, if it was us, I would have wanted a penalty, to be honest. So
agreed. Yeah. I appreciate your honesty, brothers. And then obviously Mohamed Salah doing what Mohamed Salah does most of the time. 2-2. You know what, Elijah? You mentioned it at the top, and I was thinking about this when I was watching it yesterday. That Anthony chance at the end being so similar to Ahmad's, and him not even being able to really test the keeper. And obviously, he had Robertson like sprinting towards him, so understandable. But Ahmad just used like a little pauser to get his yards to then slot it in the bottom corner. While Anthony, I felt almost felt like, oh shit, I'm in front of the goal. Yeah, let me just.
The thing is, I even though it was similar, I do think it was harder for him to get it past Kedahar. But the best thing would have been to fake a shot and go on his right foot. Now, I know he did score with his right foot like 3-4 weeks ago, but yeah. I know he's not that confident right now. But yeah, it was actually very funny that it was so similar to Ahmad's and the outcome was different. But yeah, I mean, Anthony played well on Thursday, so I'll give him a blight for now, but he's still shit. So
yeah, that's a top five Anthony performance on Thursday.
Bro. Top five, that's top one. it's that, then Galatasaray, Nottingham Forest last season.
There was one in the Europa League where he was moving nuts. Who was it? Was it Batit? Was it? There was somebody he was moving nuts against in the Europa League last season. I can't remember. I think it was one of the Spanish teams.
It would have been Betis then.
I think it was Betis. Did he score? Did he hit the cross? He was just... Oh, whoever his fullback was, he did his thing.
Fair. But yeah, man.
Yeah. Well, cool. All right. Whatever. Yeah. So... like you said, at the top, that's another point dropped in the last few minutes of a game. And I think with that, I think we'll all agree on this pod that all our hopes and dreams of finishing in the top five are probably gone now. Is there anything that we've learned from these players, from this manager in these games? Seeing Chelsea draw with Sheffield United, hilarious. Obviously, we weren't good against Brentford, but once you get ahead, you expect to see the game out with a minute left. And obviously, the Liverpool game giving away a silly penalty. Is there anything you guys have learned about this team that you didn't know before this run? No. Listen, man, 31 games, 15 wins, 4 draws, 12 losses, 45 goals for, 46 goals against. So we're 31 games into the season, still in a negative goal difference. We've got Bournemouth 5:30 on Saturday. How are you feeling going up against Andoni Iraola's the Cherries, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you feeling about that one, guys?
I've said it for time. They're going to give us a hot one, man. I can't lie.
You think?
Yeah, man. I don't trust us against them. I think, like, yeah, I just think it's just going to be a bad day at the office. It's like a 3:00. It's an irrelevant game. Yeah, man. Yeah. I just think it's a bad game.
Hey, listen. At this point in time, like, I was completely out on the season, but now that we've had an injury crisis and Willie Kambola is going to be a starter for the rest of the year, it's kind of, you know, it's only really the Young Bucks that could draw me back in right now because, with United right now, I'm just not interested in watching them play. Like, I don't really, other than Kobbie Mainoo, I don't really like none of the players. Like, you know what I mean? So, but if some of the Young Bucks, like, say if Kambola and Ahmad and them are playing, that's the only thing that could really get me to tune in.
Let's talk about Kambola. Obviously, he's had a few appearances here and there. I didn't know he was so athletic. Wow.
Do you know what? It's so weird because people It's weird because what you read about him when he first came, the people speak about how good he was on the ball. Yeah. And those 2 years that he's out, has been out injured, has proper limited his progression, because on the ball, I don't see him as like, he looks comfortable. Like, he doesn't look scared. He looks confident in stepping out with the ball. His passing is okay. Like, yesterday, first half, he was just dashing the ball anywhere and everywhere, but we were under quite a lot of pressure. But yeah, I do feel like he's competent enough on the ball. So, and then people are more concerned about him defensively, but defensively he looks competitive, he looks aggressive. I do like his front foot defending, he looks comfortable in the channels. Like, I've not seen Nunes as quiet. Like, he had chances, but whenever he came up against Kambwala, like, he held his own. Like, there was one time where he absolutely wrestled him off the ball, got a free kick. And
yeah, when I saw that draw, I was like, wow, like, yeah. Like, I'm like, wait a minute, wow, because Nunes is strong as hell, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but, like, it was like really, it was the thing is, I wasn't that worried about him because I saw him against West Ham and I saw him in other games, and I thought that even if he might make a mistake, but I do feel like this would be a good game for him, just because, like, the athletic aspect, he won't be as, you know, it's not like we're bringing in like some Lindelof light. It's we're actually bringing in a person who can defend the channels and is quite front foot. But he was very impressive, even the mistake he made in the first half, and he was able to recover very well. And it's something I noticed with Mainu, he done it as well. He's always trying to engage the crowd.
It means more.
Yeah, like, yeah. That's good, and it's good to see.
All these youths have got, they care about the club.
Yeah, and like, it's good not to see it from shit players as well, like Bruno, because when he does it, it just makes me sick.
So they knew Kambala Garnacho. Just look how they play.
They it care, means man.
More. It means more.
Nah, that's all we got. Like, it's crazy. Like, you've got all the senior players who can, after time, don't look like they can be bothered. But when you see them, like, when he did that, and then he G'd up the crowd as well, I was like, rad, these youths, the club still, I think you mentioned it in the Patreon when I was talking about, like, I wonder what the club means to, like, players who have, you know, been, like, teenagers and, like, young in the last 10 years while we haven't been particularly good. And the guys who are still coming through the academy, they care, man.
No, but, like, I feel like when you come into a first team that's not playing well and you're confident in your ability, you're like, fam, I bring this club back, if I bring Man United back, right, fam, that's stardom. That is certified stardom. So I completely understand it. Me, like, that's like coming into a comfy situation and then doing your thing. No offense, Foden. But yeah, man, it's just like, calm. It's just like, well, whatever. But doing it at Man United and bringing them back, for example, Trent, perfect example. Absolutely, that guy is he is 25. He is as certified as a lot of the Liverpool legends, because he was part of the team that brought it back, and he was a main part. So, like, it's always, like, for some reason, United fans have been scared to use these youth players, saying they're not ready, they're not this, they're not that. I'm thinking, fam, I would much rather you use these guys than go out and buy a 50 million Fred or a 40 million Matic or a 35 million Lindelof or whoever else you can name that's just been flops. It's just, yeah, man. It's such a no-brainer to me. And the fact that, like, you even see it with guys like Alanga and Ghana. They've gone to the Prem and they've done okay at lower places. Even if I didn't like Alanga, that was more to do with the fact that I just couldn't stand another McTominay making it. But it was just the matter of fact is, these are good enough players to be in our squad. But at this moment in time, we're going to have to sell some because of FFP. And that's fine. But selling them to make money, or having them as part of the squad, or if you're special mainly as a certified star, that's fine. Like, that's the whole point of an academy at this point.
Agreed. Are there any other performances you guys... Fucking hell, Casemiro, man.
Oh. Yo. Do you know what, yeah? Those first
than he was in the last game. He literally gets more war washed each game.
The first 25 minutes, he was running it back. Then he said, "Yeah, man." He said he gave everything he has. He legit has 25 minutes. I saw it in that game.
Three sprints backwards.
Yeah, and then that second half, yo, I could not believe it. There was one time he tried to clear the ball and he scuffed it so badly. It was like he done an outside of foot pass to a Liverpool player. I said, yo, my guy, you are absolutely finished. Absolutely done.
Casemiro, man, this is actually quite sad to see at this point. I wonder what percentage of it is just a stink of this club. I can't even tell.
Do you know what he done an interview with ESPN Brazil and legit says he has sleepless nights over his own performances, which means like he's actually tried as hard as he can, which is even more sad. Like,
is the Premier League the league to move to physically after you've been playing for a decade plus? I don't know, man.
And also, this system he plays where he has to run 60 times a game.
How often do you think he got completely exposed playing for Real? What, maybe twice, three times a game, if that, you know?
He was the one who stopped them being so... open as well, because they used to play that 4-4-2 before, and then he got brought in behind Modric and Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
Oh god, man, he's just cooked, and a combination of the doner kebab that he's had since he discovered the shop in Manchester, and the fact that Ten Hag has just cooked him with this system.
What a life. I think otherwise, I'm looking through the names. Nobody else necessarily stands out to me in terms of performances, good or bad. I think Dalot was solid, which was nice to see after what happened against Chelsea. Rashford getting quiet. Garnacho, meh. Hoyland, nothing's happening for him the last few games, man.
Yeah, I mean, that injury came at a bad time.
He was in the form of his career so far.
Came at a bad time, and then, yeah. I mean, going up against Van Dijk and Liverpool is not going to be easy.
I didn't get much change anyway. Fair.
I didn't watch the Brentford game. How was he in that game?
He was shocking.
Oh, well.
but then again, they were playing three at the back, and he got no service. I mean, the chance he did get, he didn't get a clean contact on it. He was falling, and it was on his weaker foot, I believe.
If he's gone back to fighting off like one chance per game, then
and he went back to that fucking back to goal, the pie target man.
Hey, Memphis Depay, we hardly knew you, man.
Bro, the worst thing is doing that against Van Dijk. He doesn't lack in confidence because he done it against Gabriel and Van Dijk. so he thinks he can do it, but...
He agrees that he believes in something. Yeah, yeah, hilarious. Cool, let's finish up with some listeners' questions. First is from ZS London. Shout you out. He sends a question every week. Much appreciated, brother. Three questions. I'll just go 1, 2, 3. Seen a lot of United fans that don't want to sign the so-called Galacticos anymore. Where do you guys stand on that? I think they're thinking of the Varans, the Casemiro type signing, Di Maria, if you look to the past. Where do you guys stand?
Who the hell are the Galacticos in world football right now?
I think when he says Galacticos, I think more so...
Mbappe. I'm sure everyone will want to sign Mbappe.
Yeah. A big player playing at a big club who's potentially like out of favour. Them sort of signings. Just look at name.
Dude, you know what? I know for a fact, if there was a poll to sign Mbappe, it would be 50-50.
No, it wouldn't.
It would be 50-50.
Why?
because of the attitude, the money, the whole Galactico thing. I generally believe it'll be 50-50. It'll be 50-50. But in terms of a name, the only one I can think of is like a Cruz or Modric, and I don't know if we will want to get the band back together.
Yeah, I don't think I think United fans wouldn't take either Cruz or Modric. Like if we was linked with them, they wouldn't be on it.
Yeah.
I think it's important to get young. Do you know what? Yeah, our team is actually really young. You know, when you deep it, like look at the team we played yesterday, right?
Like the average age was 25, which is
The average age is 25, right? But if you take Casemiro out of that team, take Casemiro out of that team and replace him with flipping, because Casemiro is 32 years old, replace him with McTominay, replace him with Mason Mount,
right?
And what does it drop to? It drops to a mad tick, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's true,
fair. So is that, would you guys still be up for those sort of signings or nah?
I mean, who are we talking about? Like,
okay, let me
give some examples.
God.
It will drop to 24.5.
Yeah, I think the one, so it's Cruz probably one to mention in that.
Yeah, I don't think I'd take Cruz.
You wouldn't take Cruz? Would you? Well, he's moved now, but maybe Lewandowski leaving Bayern Munich would have been one again. Oh. Like, no, wouldn't take that. Them type of signings where they've played at a massive club, they've won a lot.
So, what world class players at the back end of their primes, basically?
Exactly.
Yeah, so basically, if like Alaba became available again,
wouldn't take him.
Yeah, I wouldn't take him. I think obviously when we think of us, we're thinking of Varane and Casemiro, right? How would you rate the Varane signing out of 10?
I think when Varane's actually been on the pitch, he's been quality. He just can't stay fit.
Yeah, I think he's been I think it's been like a 6 out of 10.
And how would you rate Casemiro out of 10?
A 4 out of 10. And that's me being nice.
Fair, fam. Fair. Looking like Enios might keep ETH. If that's the case, but they overhaul the squad, how would we feel?
Say again?
It looks like Enios might keep Erik ten Hag. If that ends up being the case, but they overhaul the squad, how would we feel?
Do you know what? I think someone said Carl Anker asked, you have two options. ETH continues next season, but we overhaul the squad, or squad stays roughly the same, but we get a new manager. What would you rather?
Overhaul, man.
Bro, I cannot stand this.
No question.
I cannot stand these players. Literally cannot stand them. That is the easiest decision ever. I didn't even care how much I hate Ten Hag. Easiest decision ever. I literally cannot stand a lot.
You know how tough it is to watch your team detesting most of the players? Because the thing is, when you detest a player, being fair, like the way you analyze them is way over the top.
Yeah.
Having to do that for the vast majority of your playing squad. Nah.
Like, literally, except for
Mainoo.
Kambuala, Mainoo, and Garnacho, and Hoyland. I'm just like, any wrong action, I'm just like, for fuck's sake, this again. And that's just no way to watch a football match, to be honest. Like, right. I could literally go into somewhere, and I think if 8 names, and that's me being nice as well. Everyone else could go to fucking hell.
How are you, Reeves? Go to hell, ball. What would you rather, Reeves? Would you rather the new squad with Ten Hag or same players, different manager?
Oh no, it's different players, man. I just want to watch my team with players I enjoy watching, bro. I'll be real, bro. I don't like none of these players, bro.
Just
bring me some players that are exciting to watch. Like that just makes the game enjoyable, bro. Like,
yeah,
we got so guys exciting. Chasing their first touch, like getting cooked in transition. Like, bro, come on, man.
Like, it's so crazy to think, because I thought watching us when we were shit with like with talented players was like bad, but then I didn't know it could get this bad. I was like, fucking hell, man.
It's crazy. So who would you guys say, I don't want names of signings, but from the players, let's say the players who played yesterday, who would you keep going into last season if you knew you had a blank check and you could
going into next season, you mean?
Yeah, going into next season, sorry.
Let's have a look through this. Onana, keep. Dalot, keep. Kambwala, keep. Mainu, keep. Garnacho, keep. Rashford, keep. Hoyland, keep.
Everyone else can go, yeah?
Let me look. I'm looking at the bench. Mount, bench. Keep. Obviously, the young bucks like Ogunna and Harry Amass, like them.
Yeah, they don't count really, but
yeah. Ahmad, keep. Everyone else could go.
Fair. I agree with that.
That's like 8 players out of X out the young players, which is about 3. Mm. That's what 8. That's like half the squad, and that's with players.
Obviously, there's guys injured. Like Lisandro, I'd keep Lisandro. I'd like, you know what I mean? Like,
but I think Lisandro's out of the one that's injured. I think I was looking at it earlier today. I think Lissandra's the only one where I actually care.
Who else is out?
Martial, Varane. I'd keep Varane as well.
Martial,
fuck you, no. Bro, I've been asking why man is still here since 2022. I'm being so real with you. I love the guy. I love what he done for me for 5 years. You cannot replace it. But on my life, why is he still here?
What's going to be so funny to me is when he goes somewhere else and physically is rejuvenated and he's running and doing everything all over
him. It's going to be, and I'm going to love that for him. And my heart will be there. But it's done. But yeah, like, Malasia, I don't care about.
He's back in training, apparently.
Do you know what? I was going to say something. But I'm not.
Yeah, thank you. I'm not
gonna
save me the editing job on this Monday.
No, but you didn't edit the pod yesterday because you let something slide, which is crazy.
I didn't. I wasn't on it, so I didn't.
That makes sense because they specifically told you to edit out one thing.
They didn't actually tell me anything. That's the problem. People will make their like, oh, that needs to be edited out in the edit. But then they will actually tell you, make sure you edit it out, yeah? So I haven't actually listened to it yet. I started. I listened to the first, like, 15 minutes. So. Was it crazy, yeah?
Anyway, Malasia, he cares. Martial, Lindelof, Shaw, Evans and Varane. Yeah.
Fair enough, man. Who wins a foot race out of Casemiro or Boss Man? Who's Boss Man? Is that a person?
That's also Casemiro.
Yeah. So man is doing a time trial against the ghost of himself. That's crazy. That is insane.
Oh my gosh. He proper looks like a boss man. Oh my gosh. What a
It's the worst whenever he comes back from injury. Because I'm just like, brother, please, bro. Like, what is in your diet, bro? It's so insane.
Well, when he's out, man.
Like, yesterday, there was a time where he took a touch, and I could not believe that a level player was able to get there and block it when they were like 10 yards away because he's that slow. He's that quick. Oh, my God, man.
Yeah, he kills me, man. All right, next one is from Tony Afoke. This 4-4-3 that ETH is playing with the two high eights, do you think this is him standing on business with how he wants to play in the future? That's the first question.
Yeah, but with me, I don't think there's a single player that can play in that system as a midfielder. Like, as much as we clown Casemiro, I think even if you put Rice in there, you can't. You actually cannot play in that midfield. It is
I'm gonna do Onana might be the only player in the world.
But no, even me, I still do not think he would be able to. Like, as much as we cook him, literally, Casemiro has to make a choice like 5 times a game to bring a man down or let them go because they can go either side of him. At least with Onana, he'll be able to chase back and make it difficult. But he's getting a man is running towards him with momentum and he has to make a choice. It's insane, literally insane. Like the system he's choosing is just crazy to me. But it is him standing on business. But I don't know why he decided to do it this season rather than last season. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, he probably got more, probably has more credit in the bank from the League Cup win and the third place. So maybe that was his plan after those first two games. But yeah, insane. You're still muted.
Do you think it can work once we get competent players in certain positions? Yeah, I'll take that silence.
Say that question again.
So the first question, it was, so it's a follow-up from the previous question, right? This 4-3-3 that Erik ten Hag is playing with the two high eights, do you think this is him standing on business with how he wants the team to play in the future? And do you think it can work once we get competent players in certain positions?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's clearly how he wants his team to play because he's a dog shit coach. It doesn't work. His press is weird. Like, I guess, I don't know. Well, maybe if he gets some defenders that are good at pressing, defending on the front fit, aggressive, high up, maybe he'll bring that line up to support the high press that he has running. But honestly, he has players at his disposal right now that can help the team. And he's not using them. So I just think he's a weirdo.
Yeah, that's what makes it unforgivable to me.
Yeah, like if he just didn't have any, if he didn't have like, if his squad was just so bad, like he, like the squad is bad, but if he just literally had no players like a help with some of like the deficiencies we see in the team, the technical security, you know what I mean? Like all that kind of stuff, then I'd get it. But like he's literally, he brought in Mason Mount to do exactly what we're suggesting. With the high eights that could play in transition, that could press high, that could cover ground, decided he didn't want to use Mason Mount. He brought Sofyan Amrabat to be his six, decided he can't use Sofyan Amrabat. So like, I'm not really sure what's gonna change. Like, I guess if he signed a squad of quality players, then surely he could put together a team that's good. Like, because at the end of the day, like having better players than your opponents is the best way to win games. I'm sorry, but I just don't know, man. He's just a weird coach, bro. Even against Liverpool, like his subs when we was 2-1 up, like he took off Rashford. Okay, Rashford was probably like feeling it because he worked hard. He took off Rashford. You're gonna take off Garnacho. You take off two of your only outlets. I'm sure he took off Haaland. Did he take off Haaland as well?
Yes. He took them off early when I think he was trying to protect. Haaland stayed.
Hula played the whole game.
Yeah,
you've got Garnacho and Rashford, your two outlets, and you've brought on flipping Antony and Amrabat. Like, come on, man! Like, bro, like as soon as you took off Garnacho and brought Amrabat, all you've said to Liverpool is, "We're done trying to win. We're done trying to play football in this game. We're just going to protect the lead we have," and you're going to invite pressure onto yourself every single. It never works. Like, when has it ever worked?
Right.
When has Ten Hag made a defensive sub? The defensive sub has come on, and we've looked more solid defensively.
Yeah, like literally, it would have made more sense to bring on like Eriksen or Ahmad, like as a 10, as someone who's able to keep the ball, just like as an option, because that's exactly where we fell down against Chelsea. So, and then Mount came on as well from Mimenu. So, yeah, like Mount or Ahmad and just try to keep the ball a bit more. Amrabat maybe a bit later on, maybe just Amrabat to replace Casemiro. I was so surprised that he took Garnacho off because we had no outlet after that. So I just would have brought on Amrabat for Casemiro, then brought on Ahmad for probably Hoyland, and then have Ahmad as the false nine, and then have Ahmad and Mount just press up top, which would have made more sense to me. But yeah.
Yeah, calm. Slim Popper _, come on, bro. We're all just tuning in to watch Maino. Yep, confirmed. For my Ahmad investors, was there ever a player that was at United who you wish got more playing time? For example, Giuseppe Rossi, PK.
Giuseppe Rossi was injuries, to be honest, and then we sold him to Villarreal with a buyback, actually, because I always used to activate it on Football Manager. But Giuseppe, I can't really think of anyone that didn't really get the game. Maybe Gomez. I do think we should have given Gomez much more playing time, because considering his conversation was what? Pereira, Mata and Lingard.
Do you know what's so weird as well? Just like with Ahmad under Solskjaer, like when these guys got to play, they did well.
Yeah. Like when the thing is,
like, you use them and they were like out of the, they actually would play well.
Yeah, like with Gomez, he didn't pull up any trees, but he wasn't bad.
Mm.
And it was just weird. Like I didn't understand the thought process of we're gonna stick with what. Yeah, like I'm not even gonna play you ahead of Pereira, Lingard, and Mata. Then by the next season, they were third choice at best. It's just strange. Like it's just absolutely strange because, yeah, I do wish that Gomez got more playing time. Same with Twanzebe, but he was very unlucky with the injuries he got at certain times because he played in that Newcastle game. Then from November to like the next season, he was just out, which was really unlucky for him. Laird, but again, injuries, like it's whatever. Yeah, there's not that many recently, to be fair.
Lionel Cole good.
Lionel Cole was, or I do, me personally, I want him to get a chance, but yeah, it didn't happen. He did look good for the under 18s. He did look good for the under 21s, but he went to Fulham under Mudenstein, didn't do much, and they just kept tumbling down the pyramid. So
fair. Cool. Next one is from AIDS Dan. You think Kambala might save us some money in the summer? I'd say yes. And it's just a Burnaby. Potential wise, who has a higher ceiling? Mainu or pre-prison Greenwood?
Oh, come on now.
Probably Greenwood.
I don't even think that needs to be said, to be honest. I don't think people realise how special that kid was. Well, is. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. guys, listen, like I'm with you. I don't give a toss about the FA Cup. And it's just counting down the
week. That's next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, counting down the weeks until summer's here. We get some, I guess, closure in regards to what's happening with the manager. Some of these Deadwood players leave. We bring some players in. We start to see this new structure under Enios come in, and hopefully we start to make some moves. So there's probably going to be some more disappointing performances between now and the end of the season. So I appreciate you both for spending your Monday evening discussing it with me. Peace.
No problem. Thank you for the time.
Nice one, bro. Sports Social Podcast Network.